Craft Marketing presents Business of Craft, a show designed to help entrepreneurs start, grow, and thrive in the yarn, fabric, and craft industry.
My name is Leanne Presley, and I'll be your host through our second season of Business of Craft. Our theme is Wantrepreneurs, and all our episodes will cover the basic topics you need to launch a business in the fiber, fabric, or craft industry. Listen for new shows every other week where I chat with guests about why you need a business plan, how to set up your financials, how to hire great staff, and outline a marketing strategy guaranteed to sell more stuff. So grab your project and pour a cup of tea, and let's get started crafting a better business together. My guest today is Jamie Bilsbach. She is the Center Director of the Small Business Development Center for the Central Mountain Region of Colorado. Jamie has more than 20 years of experience in brand development, merchandising, graphic design, marketing planning, and she's worked with companies such as Lavazza Coffee, Clif Bar, Annie's Gourmet, and Hershey's. She's also worked for the Mexican government developing the Mexican Chiapas shade-grown coffee company with over 25,000 growers. So we're thrilled to have Jamie on the show today. Welcome to Business of Craft, Jamie Bilsbach.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be joining you.
So Jamie, I know you've had so much experience with marketing, and I know you personally. We worked together at the Small Business Development Center here. So I knew that you were just the perfect guide for our new wantrepreneurs that are listening on Business of Craft and helping them with their new business development. And I think that we should start off by having you tell our listeners just a little bit about the importance of the marketing plan. Let's just jump right in there. We're going to assume that people listening are doing a marketing plan as part of their overall business plan. And if you haven't really thought about that, you should go back to our episode with Sean Allison, who did a really great step-by-step guide for writing a business plan. But why should everybody start with their marketing plan, Jamie?
Well, everyone should, because if you think about our industry and our world, it's changing every day. And so your customers' expectations are changing. Probably some aspects of your business are changing. So whether you're starting a new business or have been doing it for 20 years, it's really important to do a marketing plan to thoughtfully consider what changes have taken place and how you can position your company.
Awesome. Well, you know you're speaking my language because, of course, Stitchcraft Marketing, that's what we preach every single day is, please do not launch a business without a marketing plan. And I think some people kind of confuse marketing with sales. And so I want you to just unpack that really quickly. What's the difference between having a marketing plan or a sales plan?
Well, a marketing plan focuses on increasing your customer awareness. It defines how you're communicating to your customer. It talks about the values of your company. So it's more than just a product. Sales is literally a direct action to buy a certain product or service.
Okay, great. We got to make sure we have that clear before we proceed. So next, Jamie, I want to just break down some of the components of a basic marketing plan. Give us a little bit of an overview. Like, what are those essential pieces that have to go into a good plan? And then afterwards, we'll just unpack those a little bit more bit by bit, but just start with a broad stroke and give us the overview.
Well, first of all, the most critical part of a marketing plan is your messaging. So defining how you're going to message and what you want to say. And then the second is methods and how are you going to do that? Who is your target audience? What's the situation? Looking at different analysis and defining your strategic campaign and your budget so that you have kind of all aspects so that you can sell and share your products to a large audience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you just said a minute ago that the first piece is messaging. And I think some people would say this is based on your company's strategic position. So how do you coach clients to identify what that brand messaging is?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time. So I think some of your listeners will remember the back in the days when people created mission statements. Mm-hmm. And employees had a hard time connecting with those. So really, it's evolved to create a vision statement. And a vision statement is really the most critical messaging and positioning that you can do for your company. It provides a concrete way for anyone to understand the meaning and purpose of your business. So vision is really strong and key.
Right.
Then you go on to define your essence. What do you want your customers to feel when they see your product or service or go into your venue? And then I like, this is one of my favorite, what's the personality of your company? Are you going to be playful? Are you serious because you're a professional sharing accounting information? I kind of think of, if you think of Apple computer and Microsoft computer, and think of the different personalities that they project. That's really kind of a fun area to create in your brand messaging. And lastly, your positioning statement. And that really expresses a unique value or a benefit to your product. And it's really important to note, people think they do their brand messaging and that's that. But really, brand messaging can be looked at why you're doing your marketing plan for the first time or the next year when you're thinking about expanding your sales, doing the marketing plan again, your positioning and your messaging may have evolved or changed based on customers' demands and based on your likes and desires.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, I see this a lot when clients come to Stitchcraft Marketing and they're seeking assistance. They might be like, oh, I'm going to throw up a logo. Maybe their daughter-in-law did it or they haven't had it done professionally. And they tell me, you know, I want to have a sophisticated company. I want to sell really high-end yarns and my price point is, you know, really high. And then they show me the logo and it's like, an illustrated cartoon of a sheep, or it's a, you know, the proverbial yarn ball, and it just doesn't match, right? So I have to go back and tell people exactly what you just told us, which is you've got to think about your brand messaging throughout every layer of your business, because that's, you know, super important to get it right and right from the beginning. So Jamie, let's talk a little bit about your target customer. And longtime listeners of Business of Craft know sometimes I call this your customer avatar. But I really think people don't spend enough time on this. Like they just slap mud up on the wall and they have no idea who their target audience or customer should be. So how do you advise clients that they identify their target customer?
Well, truly defining your target customer is critical. And the big thing I see small businesses doing is they think they, like you said, throw mud up there. You cannot be things to all people. You really have to clearly define who is your ideal customer. And not only who is your ideal customer, what are their needs, wants, and desires? How do they communicate? How can you customize products or services to them? So you really have to understand your customer, and it's really better to start narrow. And if you then need increased sales, you can expand to other demographics and customers, but maybe that's with a different product or service.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you really need to find your niche in that area so that you can differentiate your unique attributes to that customer.
Right. Awesome. That's exactly what we advise folks over at Stitchcraft Marketing. So I appreciate that. Another area, Jamie, that I think some people really skip over, and sometimes this happens in like the bigger business plan planning, but is this SWOT analysis, S-W-O-T. Can you define that for us and just walk us through it? What is a SWOT analysis and why is it so important?
It's so funny because this is something that has stuck around for years and years since I've been doing marketing. And it seems so simple, but so many people skip over it for that reason. Right. And it really, in marketing, can define how you're going to proceed ahead. So internally, look at your strengths, look at your weaknesses, and then externally, look at your opportunities and threats. So SWOT is strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Okay, awesome. And I recommend people just actually make a matrix. They plot it all out on like a four square quadrant and do SWOT. And then each section has your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. So that's just a little exercise we recommend for our clients at Stitchcraft Marketing.
I completely agree.
So, Jamie, there are so many different marketing vehicles these days. Offline, you can run print ads, you can do trade shows, you can, of course, go online, you can do social media. I mean, I think it just gets really overwhelming really, really quickly. Do you have any tips for helping clients figure out what vehicles they need to focus on?
Yes. I think you really need to first look at what's your marketing strategy, your essence, your vision. And then what are your SWOT items so that you can clearly understand the situation you're in, mm-hmm. and then define that by how that addresses your target customer. So with small businesses and nonprofits, I think it's important to use guerrilla marketing tactics. And that's really because for funding reasons and financial reasons, but it also allows you to be lean and quick. Mm. And how you address your marketing points. Mm-hmm. So whether you're targeting a message to your customers or you're launching a new product and campaign, you can do that through guerrilla marketing with a very good cost impact value. Mm-hmm. So if you're not sure what that is, the big thing is to be authentic, be very creative, expand on why you're unique or different, and figure out a way to do that. So if you're not sure, you can just Google guerrilla marketing and mm-hmm. I'll give you all kinds of ideas. But I can think of certainly with Stitchcraft and all that you do in social media, there's all sorts of incredible campaigns that you could do via social media with creative products to show why you're unique and different.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think guerrilla marketing, just as a concept, is something that all of our listeners should check out. Like you just said, Google it, because that is such a great way for them to do it affordably, right? You don't have these huge budgets when you're usually starting out. So it's important to, you know, tap into something like guerrilla marketing where you can get a lot of bang for your buck. So, all right, Jamie, we're going to talk about the last component, which is sales, right after our commercial break. We'll be right back. This episode of Business of Craft is brought to you by Stitchcraft Marketing. Our agency specializes in social media planning and execution for clients in fiber, fabric, and craft industries. If you're launching a new business, we know you've got a lot of hats to wear and a lot of jobs to do. We can help you put together a solid content strategy for your social channels and teach you best practices for posting that leads to sales. Complete our contact form at stitchcraftmarketing.com/contact for a free 30-minute consultation on how you can get started off on the right foot. Now, back to our show. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to season two of Business of Craft. I'm Leanne Presley, and I'm here with my guest, Jamie Bilsbach. And we're talking about all the different components of the marketing plan. And some of them are hard components. Some of them I would consider to be kind of soft components and some interpersonal components. So, Jamie, I know you're a really big proponent of considering the power of purpose. Let's just talk about that really quickly as, you know, one key component that you could have in your marketing plan.
Well, it's interesting. The power of purpose kind of inspired me when I was looking personally into my life and my journey. But I realized quickly how that affects your life and business, because our world has really changed as we know it. Career paths look nothing like they did. You think about the small business where they now have to be not only experts in their business, but in social media and interacting with a much broader audience, world audiences sometimes. So really the power of purpose is a process that allows you to look within. Mm-hmm. To find out what inspires you, what moves you, what is your calling, those types of things. And that really applies with entrepreneurs because most of us are, the majority of the time we spend is at work. So if you're working all the time, why are you choosing this business? Does it fit into your talents and your gifts? And because customers want us all to be authentic, and not just transmitting out to this big global world. They want us to be human beings,
right?
To get up and close and personal with them, mm-hmm. and really therefore understanding self and what are your gifts and talents, and then sharing those gifts and talents through your work, I think is critical.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our listeners are in a creative space. And so I would imagine a lot of them are just discovering their power of purpose, you know, and they're realizing, oh my gosh, I don't want to wake up every day and do whatever fill in the blank awful job that they have. I want to be creative. I want to make yarn. I want to dye yarn or make fabric or whatever sort of creative thing they're doing. So I love your recommendation of looking closer at the power of purpose. So, and there's a book that goes with that too. Is that right?
There's actually a couple and I love them. The first one, I think all of us should read. It's called Work Reimagined.
Okay.
And then the second is literally called The Power of Purpose. And they give you tools to uncover your gifts, your passions, your values, and then how to express them. Mm-hmm. So for business, to me, it's almost like a mini marketing plan.
Right.
Because you're authentically defining self and needs and values and then communicating that authentically to your customer.
Yes. Awesome. It reminds me a little bit about the work of Simon Sinek. Start with why. You know, you have to really think about why are you in business? And then everything else is like a hub and spoke from that question and answer. So I love your advice to just you take some time and think about those really sort of deep, burning, soulful questions about why you're in business. And I think you'll find a lot unfolding in your answer.
And your why can change. We just did a storytelling series with Adrian Reif, and his why changed. And he created this incredible, successful business, but decided, that's we've gone beyond my why.
Right.
And he sold it and became an author and is working with a lot of small businesses to help them grow and prosper because that's really his why.
Right.
So just knowing that that can evolve and change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Jamie, the other piece of the plan that we talked about at the beginning of the show is your sales piece. And of course, I consider this to be like the jewel in the crown, right? I mean, you can say that you have nothing if you have no sales, right? And I think if you're just a one-woman show, like a lot of our listeners are, you're doing all the sales yourself. But of course, there's going to be some listeners out there that have a more elaborate sales structure. And so I think it might be good for us to just take a moment and unpack some of the different types of sales methods so that the beginner entrepreneurs listening, they know kind of what types are out there.
Yes. And the big thing to understand is now we're into 2020 and moving beyond.
Right.
And really how we used to sell and do business has changed.
Absolutely.
Especially because we can sell throughout the world.
Right.
So back in the day, I remember we would create 3 to 5 year marketing plans and sales strategies. And frankly, that doesn't work anymore because if you take, 3 to 6 months to say to write a marketing plan and then you start implementing in your year two, probably the trends and conditions have completely changed. So we're really talking now about lean management and innovation.
Okay.
So that you can adjust and thrive to your market as it changes. So traditional sales methods are physical locations, wholesale sales, online sales, direct sales. But people are really pushing that bubble. And so the idea, if you have a new idea, rather than taking 3 months to a year to figure it out, you can kind of quickly in a cruder marketing plan, say a lean marketing plan, you define your vision. You quickly roll out that idea, that vision to maybe your friends, your colleagues, some community members, and then you further define it. And then you learn and experiment on a small scale so that you're not investing, say, buying a whole building to run your business. Maybe you lease it for 6 months, whatever, so that you test it and then you measure that, listen to the customers about what they would like to see, or you thought they wanted something, you created it, and lo and behold, that's not what they wanted. So right. You have chances to change, and then you can either evolve, you can say, oops, that didn't work at all, let's pivot, or you can persevere. So really, the ideas have changed, and I highly recommend the book The Lean Startup by mm-hmm. Eric Ries, because he clearly defines how to do this.
So Jamie, I have read that book. I think it's awesome. I read it a couple of years ago, and I think it's that concept of fail fast, right? Where you get in there, you have a whole experimentation section, and then if it's going to work, you move ahead. And if it's not going to work, then you pivot, right?
Yes, exactly.
So I'm now wondering, you know, the old sort of planning your sales cycle 1, 2, 3 years out, we're not doing that anymore, right? You're recommending that people really shorten their sales goal planning, or, you know, how does reading a book like The Lean Startup change some of the timeframes for your marketing and sales plans?
I think it changes it completely. First of all, you don't need a chunk of money to start and scale up. It allows you to test and experiment, see what works, accentuate those things that work, and get rid of the ideas that don't, and then move forward. So it allows you literally to scale up step by step without a huge cash investment.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, speaking of budgets, I know that that's another really big piece of your marketing plan and when you're starting a brand new business. So, I mean, we get this question all the time at Stitchcraft, you know, how much should I be spending on fill in the blank? So I know there are some formulas out there like the 5% rule or the 7% of your gross revenue, but if you don't have a lot of revenue yet, how do you guide a new business startup on how much to spend on your marketing plan?
Well, I think it almost becomes what you can spend. Like say you want the $750,000 house, but oops, your budget only can afford a $250,000 house.
Right.
So I'm doing a pitch because SBDC consultants, we have cash flow documents that we can share with you where you actually plug in a cash flow rather than just a traditional budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put in your what money you're starting with, whether it's your own money or if you've got some lending money that comes in, you put in that where you're starting. And then you project and budget what you believe. Don't overestimate it, but what you believe the costs are to bring that product or service to market. So whether the actual physical costs, then do you have to have a physical building or a website or whatever? What are those literal costs to bring that product to market? And then do you need staff to help you with that, or your own labor and you need to be paid, or can you hire an expert like all you folks at Stitchcraft and put that into this cash flow spreadsheet And then marketing tactics, what do you think are going to work? How much is that going to cost? So rather than, oh, I'm going to spend 3% on marketing, it really is a what you can afford based on how to make that model work.
Right.
And a cash flow, it really, it's an ideal thing for any concept because it kind of allows you to see, is this idea going to work? Or is it going to, I'll be in the red for 6 months or in a year, and then yes, it will take off. So deciding whether your concept will even work, or you could scale it down, or you could say, oh, I need to get more financing before we roll this out. It gives you a lot of opportunity to look at your whole business without spending any money and seeing if it will work.
Right. That's great advice. It's sort of a different philosophy from the old school of, you know, what your budget sheet looked like. You start with your gross revenue, take off your expenses, and then what's left is your profits. And I'm hearing a lot of people talk more about what you just mentioned, where you've got these different formulas, like Mike Michalowicz, who wrote Profit First. You know, he has a strategy similar to what you were just saying, where, you know, it's you don't just spend, because then you wake up one day and you're like, oh, I'm in the red. How did that happen? And you sort of flip it on its side so that you always have profits in your business. And for longtime Business of Craft listeners, you know, I'm a huge fan of Mike Michalowicz, and we were lucky enough to be able to interview him on episode 61 of Business of Craft. So if you're interested in more of what Jamie's talking about and how to use, you know, think about your spending a little differently, then take a look at, take a listen to that episode number 61. So Jamie, a lot of marketing plans we do here at Stitchcraft Marketing have some pretty elaborate layers of planning. Like, you know, for example, our social programs, for some clients, we plan out every channel, every message, every piece of content. And I think if you're a one-woman show or one-man show and you're doing it completely by yourself, you can get really overwhelmed really, really quickly. So how do you reassure your clients who come to you feeling like, you know, the marketing plan has just too many moving parts and so that I'm just not going to do it? So how do you kind of grab them by the hand and guide them through that piece?
I think, first of all, they really need to do a marketing plan, but it can be unique. So I think, first of all, being authentic, being true to oneself, be realistic about what you can and cannot do, source out services that you do not like to do or that you don't have the talent for.
Right.
Like I think of Stitchcraft, I have reached out to you to even help us with the SBDC because it's beyond what I have time or talent for.
Right.
So I really say get help. There's a lot of free services. There's local business support. You can, so like-minded businesses, listening to their stories and talking to them, friends, family, colleagues. Perhaps you should consider a business partner. You just know that you cannot go it on your own. Get help. And I certainly would recommend talking to your local SBDC.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how people can do that in a few minutes. But I want to add to that and just reiterate, you know, there's also sometimes local professional organizations, mastermind groups. You can sometimes even join a local chamber of commerce. You know, there's help and support out there for folks like you listeners who are wanting to start a new business, and you don't have to do it alone. And I think that's one of the biggest things that if I could do it all over again, I wish that someone like you, Jamie, would have taught me is you're not alone. Because as especially a solo entrepreneur, you think you're the only one that's experiencing issues with, you know, employees or revenue generation, or, I mean, how do I grow my business? How do I manage social media? I mean, every aspect of your business, you might feel like you're completely alone. And I just want to assure everybody, especially these new business owners you're not alone. And there's places that you can go to get that kind of support. So I might also reiterate that you can outsource and you can delegate. For example, when I first started, I was feeling really incompetent with some of the bookkeeping and accounting, and you can find people to help you with that. So do you have any advice for our listeners there, Jamie, on, you know, how do people find some of the people or in your community that you should or maybe even shouldn't utilize? I don't know. I'm just thinking about like accountants and bookkeepers. And if you need help with that, how do you find those people?
Well, I think several ways. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head contacting your local chamber, because they're not only used to working with different businesses,
right,
but they also get feedback on how those businesses do. So if you're very have an open communication with the chamber, saying your needs, wants, and desires, and what your concerns are, I'm sure they can help recommend. You also can reach out to your local small business development center, because often they have different recommendations. In fact, as a requirement, we always have to recommend 3 different people that could help you with a service. And also through social media, Leanne, you know, just getting on Facebook and saying, hey, I need a good accountant. Does anybody recommend somebody here locally?
Right.
So,
definitely.
You know, there's a lot of ways to double check that you're getting the right kind of partner to work with that fits into your personality.
And Jamie, you're the director of our local SBDC here in Central Colorado. And I want to just reiterate to our listeners that SBDC is a national program, right? Can you tell us just a little bit about how it works, Jamie, for those listeners who might not be in this Central Colorado region? How do they reach out and access their local SBDC?
Well, it's incredible. First of all, SBDCs are funded by the Small Business Administration, so federal money that goes to all the different states, and they are offered throughout the United States. So if you just search, literally, say you're in Ohio, SBDC in Ohio, it can give you the different locations. And what's great about SBDCs is they first and foremost offer free counseling and confidential. So you can kind of just have a meeting to see if your ideas even sound or realistic. They can also then work with you with kind of homework assignments. Say you're overwhelmed with your marketing plan. Breaking that down, they can give you homework assignments. You meet with them again and they're like, yes, this looks great, or have you thought about this? And then here's the next step, so that it can make stepping stones in your business to do projects.
Cool.
And then we offer low cost or free training. We have webinars, podcasts such as yours, and there's access to funding through Office of Economic Development and other startup groups and angel investors. So we have a lot of connections. Our whole job is to help small businesses thrive.
That's awesome. And I really hope our listeners are going to take the time to reach out and find their local office. If you're in the local area, the Central Colorado, our website is centralsbdc.org. And you can sign up to work with any of the consultants here locally. I've tried to feature some of them on Business of Craft. So you'll hear from Sean Allison and Susan Dunn and Glenn Martin. And of course you, Jamie Bilsbach. So I encourage the locals to reach out to you. So Jamie, do you have any other books or websites or resources that you might recommend to our listeners for the process of creating their marketing plans?
Well, it's so funny because I think I say this on everything. First of all, just Googling it can give you some steps and processes.
Good, something
and
easy.
And I really recommend the 2 books that I already said.
Okay.
And then Rhonda Abrams does these kind of workbooks that are really, really handy called Business Plan in a Day, or they have a longer business plan version so that you can really get help in the areas that you need help in and that are maybe your weaknesses. there's just a lot of resources always available.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm familiar with Rhonda Abrams' books. And of course, for everybody who's frantically scribbling right now, we'll put all of those links in the show notes. So you can just pop right over to the show notes and then take that information to your local bookseller or the other places you can buy books online and grab those. And I love some of those books because they've got worksheets in there. So as you're kind of brainstorming your business, you can just jot down in your worksheet, you know, what are the different places I would want to market or what are the social media channels I'm going to utilize. So it's just, I don't know, sometimes feels good to just write something in a book. So I highly recommend those also.
Yeah. And it prompts you because there's, you can't think of everything.
Right.
So to get a little prompt and then maybe think about that for a few hours or a day and then you go, I got it.
Right. Right. Awesome. Yes. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for giving us and our listeners so much feedback on getting that marketing plan started. I'm sure we could do a whole separate show, and maybe we will, on marketing measurement. How do you know if you're successful with your plan? But to get started, I think you've given us some really awesome information on just those first steps on getting started with a marketing plan. And if you're listening out there and you're an entrepreneur and you're getting started with your business, please, please do not skip over the development of your marketing plan. It's such an essential part of having a successful business. So thank you again, Jamie Bilsbach, for coming on our show.
Oh, thank you, Liam, so much for having me.
That wraps up another edition of Business of Craft, brought to you by Stitchcraft Marketing. If you'd like to review show notes or learn about our marketing services for crafty entrepreneurs, visit us at stitchcraftmarketing.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you get all the latest episodes.